Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I bring you greetings from Dr. Patrick Ferry, the president of Concordia University, Wisconsin, and an alumnus of your institution, and from your other brothers and sisters in Christ among our faculty, students, and staff. I am Reverend Kevin Vogts, the university's director of church relations. When I received the assigned lesson for today, which was just read, one verse leaped out at me. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority, for they keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were deeply divided, ready to split over serious issues of doctrine and practice. Our text really lends itself to a sermon directed toward the flock on their duties and responsibilities with respect to their pastors. However, since today I am preaching to future shepherds, based upon this assigned text, we will consider the office of the holy ministry, the divinity of the call, and the authority of the pastor. We must first acknowledge that none of us of ourselves is worthy for this highest office. None of us has what it takes to be a successful pastor. The faithful under-shepherd of Christ humbly confesses, together with his flock, I, a poor, miserable sinner. And he rejoices with them in the good news. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven you. Paul puts it this way, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. There are some pastors who tout their leadership skills as the reason for the supposed success of their congregations. In this way of thinking, pastoral authority stems not from theology, but from sociology. The certainty of your call is based not upon the word of the Lord, but on the statistical report. Are you successful according to the methods and measurements of this world? If so, then the Lord is validating your call, and you have earned the right to exercise pastoral authority. But if your congregation is not growing, according to some people's definition, then it is judged not healthy, and your call is uncertain, and your pastoral authority no longer valid. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. The pastor who exercises true pastoral authority does not cite his statistics as the basis for that authority, but he confesses with the apostle, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the New Testament. The pastor who exercises true pastoral authority does not boast of his success, but confesses with the apostle, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider it all rubbish. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor who exercises true pastoral authority does not tout his leadership skills, but confesses with the apostle, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I claimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. True pastoral authority stems not from your person, not from your leadership skills, not from your success, but from one source only. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The true and only authority of the pastor flows from the cross, from the gospel of Christ crucified. Like the blood and water flowing from our Savior's side upon the cross, the true and only authority of the pastor flows from the waters of holy baptism, flows from the precious stream of our Savior's blood in Holy Communion. Paul expresses it this way: men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. The true and only authority of the pastor is found in and extends only as far as the mysteries of God, the Word and sacraments. At times in our nation's history, we have seen presidential authority sadly abused by the holder of that office. In the same way, pastoral authority is not an arbitrary power, not to be used as your personal plaything in the employ of your own agenda and quirks. And your pastoral authority must not be used to mask your deficiencies. Most of all, your pastoral authority must never be used to clothe your own thus saith with the garb of thus saith the Lord, when there is no such word from the Lord. Peter sums it up this way: be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, not lording it over those entrusted to you. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority, for they keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. You will have to give an account. What an awesome thought. You will have to give an account to the Lord Himself of the exercise of your ministry, your call, your pastoral authority. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The entire book of Hebrews is a wonderful example of this true exercise of the office of the word. Faced with a group of Christians that was deeply divided, ready to split over serious issues of doctrine and practice, The author of Hebrews does not employ sociology or psychology to heal the rift. But as a steward of the mysteries of God, he dishes out for them meaty theology. Not the latest leadership skills, but careful instruction from the Word. Not human wisdom, but the cross of Christ. Now it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority, for they keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. When I was installed in my first parish, as we were vesting before the service, just as I was putting on my stole, the circuit counselor spoke these words of encouragement. "Well, I feel sorry for you." He then went on to detail what he considered to be the problems with my new congregation, which had split off some years before from a neighboring congregation, concluding, "You should never accept a call to a split-off congregation," as if I had a choice. "They used to fight with the people over there, and now they just fight among themselves." And with that, we proceeded out the door for my installation. Fortunately, it turned out his analysis of the situation was way off the mark, and I had a very happy ministry there. But a joyful ministry does not mean a ministry free from struggles, of which you will have your share as a pastor. A joyful ministry comes not from a lack of struggles, but first of all from the certainty that your call is divine, from God himself. As Paul told the pastors at Ephesus, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers." C.F.W. Walther puts it this way: "God is really the one who calls preachers. The congregations are only the instruments. The preacher stands in God's service and office. Pastors are a gift given by Christ to the church." A joyful ministry comes from this certainty that your call is divine, and from confidence in and reliance upon in your ministry the power of the Word and sacraments. Not sociology, but theology. Not the latest leadership principles, but the power of the Word and sacraments. As Paul says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Such reliance, not upon yourself or the wisdom of this world, but upon the power of the Word and sacraments, will bring joy in your ministry, even in the midst of struggles. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority, for they keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.